ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. In our last class, we discussed and completed the psychology of love. What is true love? That तदेतत् प्रेयः पुत्रात् प्रेयो वित्तात् प्रेयो अन्यस्मात् सर्वस्मात् तत् अन्तरतरम् यत् अयम् आत्मा. दिस् सेल्फ् इस् डियरर् देन् ए सन्, डियरर् देन् वेल्थ्, डियरर् देन् एव्रिथिङ्ग् एल्स् बिकास् इट् इस् दि इन्नर्मोस्ट्. वी आल्सो हेव् टु एड् दि सेल्फ् इस् डियरर् देन् दि बाडी, देन् दि मैण्ड्. हौ कम्? बिकास् if the body stops giving happiness, starts giving unhappiness, then we earnestly pray to God that let this body be dropped away. Similarly, when the mind is highly disturbed, creating only the feeling of suffering, we want to overcome it either by drinking or diverting our attention. If nothing works, then by going to deep sleep state, so long as we are in that deep sleep state, nothing in this universe can really trouble us. We are not even aware. And this statement that in deep sleep there is no body consciousness, there is no awareness of the mind, clearly indicates that what we call happiness, unhappiness, and both of them go together, good and evil, birth and death, everything belong to the mind in the form of thoughts. Nothing to do with Atman. And without any object, we experience the highest bliss. That bliss is beyond both happiness and unhappiness. Many times we commit the terrible mistake of identifying this bliss with continuous happiness. These concepts are completely different, opposite to each other. Happiness always comes with unhappiness. It is the sandwiched happiness, joy, pleasure is sandwiched between not having happiness before and not having happiness or pleasure later on. Therefore, it is called anatma. And as we discussed, anatma can never be dear to everybody. We want unbroken happiness, which is called peace, shanti. And that's what we experience in deep sleep. Then the mantra goes on telling that if a person who understands that I am the very embodiment of bliss because I am the Atman, because the Atman is, sometimes these English words like the Atman do not make much meaning unless we come to the definition, add the definition. Simply saying I am Atman is meaningless. I am Brahman is meaningless. What should we say then? I am Satchidananda Atma. I am Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Then it makes meaning. I am Sat. I have no death. I am Chit. I have no ignorance. And I am Ananda Swarupa. What type of Ananda? Anantam. Infinite happiness. Infinite bliss. Therefore, these words only we have to keep in mind. So if there is a person, what we call in popular language, he is a realized soul, like Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, etc. Then if these people give the teaching to other people whose happiness lies in anatma, obtaining anatma, experiencing anatma, enjoying or suffering from anatma, that whatever you love is going to perish, then is a brahmagnani going to tell these words to other people? No. What it means is, my children, that everything in this world is temporary. That word temporary means it was not before, it will not be later on. Only momentarily it is there. That conveys this idea, the same idea, that if a great realized soul has to tell his students, what you hold as dear will perish, whether he says it, whether he doesn't say it, anatma is going to perish. In fact, it is not going to perish. If you analyze deeply, after some time, because we have got these superficial understandings, there is birth, there is sustenance. For example, here is a person, is born 99 years back. So, he was born and he is continuing to live. And at the 100th year or so, he is going to die. Imagine like that. It is a wrong concept that 99 years or 100 years, this person is continuously in the same state. Every millisecond, our bodies are changing, minds are changing. Change is another name for death. We have to be using this terminology with clear understanding that I am dying, my body is dying, my mind is dying, therefore I who associate with body, mind, am also dying. If I go on be aware of these facts, then definitely there would be progress in spiritual life. That is what Sri Ramakrishna in so many words, that people shed potfuls of tears at the death or separation or enmity of their, what they hold dear as wife, husband, children, friends, etc. But who is going to weep for God? This is the translation by Swami Sri Ramakrishna of these words, that if the scripture tells, and scripture and a realized soul are one and the same. If the scripture were to tell us that what you hold dear will perish, or even better language, is perishing every second, that would be the correct translation, then it is not that the person is telling. If he doesn't tell, there is no perishing. If he tells, then only perishing starts. No. He is only stating a statement of fact. This is what is happening. So, uttishtata, jagrata. Be aware of it. That is what it meant. So, you will be weeping. Why? Because the truth is, anatma actually doesn't exist. But because you think it exists, non-existence will be non-existence only, whether you think it is existent or non-existent. Therefore, what is the conclusion? Atmanam eva priyam iti upasita. One should meditate upon the self alone as dear. As dear means what? Like Jadabharata became the dear by loving the dear. That means that is a true love. Because he loved that perishable object, next birth, he himself was imbued with that samskara. I am the dear. So he was, his body also became the dear. Then he realized, what for did I come? And where did I end? I was thinking of God until the moment I perceived this young one that is lying down after being, after its mother's death. So immediately he took it up. So that tremendous power of concentration on God, now it turned upon this help, so-called helpless object. That's why we all love babies so much, because they are whole, for some time. That means if they feel like weeping, they weep. If they feel like laughing, they laugh. There is no hypocrisy there. They become one with their feelings. Whereas we learn how to hide our feelings. Rarely we become one with our feelings. When I mean I am so happy to see you get a promotion, to win a lottery ticket, or to get married to a great person, or to land a wonderful job. Genuinely, only a few family members, not every family member, may feel happy about it. Jealousies will come. But a Brahmagnani will be happy with the happiness of everybody. And a Brahmagnani will feel tremendous sympathy as if he himself is suffering. Holy Mother's incident, I hope you will recollect. Once a poor old woman came to Holy Mother and started weeping inconsolably. Holy Mother did not know. She asked, and the old woman said, "My young son, only son, upon whom I was hoping against hope that when I become old, he will be taking up a job and he will be looking after me, and he would have looked after me. Suddenly he died." And Holy Mother burst into equal sobbing. Both of them started sobbing. What happened? Holy Mother felt, this is my son who has really died. So every Brahmagnani, as we discussed earlier, identifies everybody as one's own, as my own self. There is no pretense about it. There is no artificiality in it. So we have to understand, but how does he love? Not as anatma, but atma. And atma is only one. Therefore, there is no difference. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thine own self. This is what Bhagavan, Jesus Christ, is trying to tell. Therefore, what is the result? Atmanameva priyam upasita. One should meditate upon the self alone as a deer. And what does he get by that upasana? Sa yaha atmanameva priyam upaste nahi asya priyam pramayukam bhavati. He who meditates upon the self alone as a deer and what he holds as a deer will not perish. Because what he is holding as a deer is the Atman, and he holds it as what? You are the Atman. I am contemplating upon you. No, I am you. There is no I and you. What is only one. So, let us, that is the result. What else we want? And Atman is the of the nature of unending, unbroken, eternal, infinite bliss. What else does he want? So, we all love only Atman. Even the worldly person doesn't love any object. Let us remember it. First, we love happiness. And if any object is giving me happiness, I love that object as a secondary love. Primary love always belongs to happiness. And secondary love, that instrument, that object through which I can derive that happiness. And that is why one's own happiness, one's own nature is the nearest and dearest. Atman is the nearest to all of us. Because all of us are Atman. That is not a proper language. There is no all. But we have to use, because at this moment we are living in a world where I think I am one among this infinite number of objects that I am living with. Therefore, there is no all. Everything is only one Atman. Like 1,000 reflections in a mirror, in 1,000 mirrors, if one person stands, there will be as many number of reflections as the number of mirrors. But depending upon the quality of the mirror, some may be convex, some may be concave, whatever it is. And some may be very clean, some may be covered with small amount of dust, and some may be covered with full dust. So the reflections
will be alternating only depending upon the quality of the mirrors. And our minds are like mirrors. That is what Patanjali in his Yoga Shastra says, make chitta vritti nirodha means make the mind pure. Pure means there should be no other thought other than. Then what happens? Tada drashtu swarupe avasthanam. There afterwards we dwell upon it without any break. How so? Because what we are looking from birth to death is not an object but happiness. And here is infinite bliss. And therefore, the yogi doesn't want to have any interruption, as I am of the nature of happiness, and that is what I am, the Atman. And Atman also is the dearest because it is the nearest to every one of us. Here, nearest means not something which is near. There is no time distance, space distance, objective distance. That is, I am the Atman and Atman the me. In that sense only, I am the Atman. And therefore, I am Sachidananda Swarupa. So, that is what we have to understand. Everything other than the Atman perishes. This is the essence of the mantra number 8 in the 4th section of the 1st chapter of the Brihadaranyaka. Now, the next 2 mantras, 9th and 10th, are the very essence of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We said at the beginning in the introduction that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is divided into 6 chapters. And every 2 chapters, 1st and 2nd, 3rd and 4th, 5th and 6th, are given a particular names. The first 2 chapters go by the name of Upadesha Kanda or Madhu Kanda. Why is it called Madhu? Madhu means honey. Honey means what? Everything is Brahman. I love Atman. And what is everything? Everything is also nothing but Atman. Since I love the Atman, therefore everything is Atman. Therefore I love everything as my one single infinite self. That is why everybody becomes dear. For a Brahmagnani, there are neither friends nor enemies, neither nearer nor distant people. There is only one reality, Brahma Eva Asti. There is nothing but Brahman. That is what is said in the 6th chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad also. Sadeva Somya Idam Agre Asit Sat. Pure existence, pure knowledge, pure bliss, Sachidananda, which the 2nd chapter of the Taittiriya Upanishad Brahmanandavalli defines, changing one word, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam. The 2 words, Satyam, corresponds to the Sat. The word Jnanam corresponds to the word Chit. And the word Anantam corresponds to the word Anandam. Anandam means unbroken, unlimited, which means infinite. And here, he has used the word in the Brahmananda only, Anantam, words. So, there would be a desire. So, after going through the ritualistic portions, etc., and slowly the mind is becoming purer, first a person develops, progresses. I want happiness in this world. Second, he progresses further. I want higher happiness obtainable in the higher lokas. We can also equate that the ananda which one gets in the pranamaya kosha, it is much subtler, more pervading and more of happiness, because remember that anandamaya kosha only, when it becomes a little bit covered up, it is called vijnanamaya. A little more cover up or gross, becoming gross means covered up more and more, it becomes manomaya, and it becomes more covered up, which is called pranamaya. So, I can put it this way, we can put it this way, that one obtains some amount of happiness in Annamaya Kosha, one obtains more happiness, Pranamaya Kosha Ananda, higher than that, Manomaya Kosha Ananda, higher than that, Vijnanamaya Kosha Ananda, and higher than that, Anandamaya Kosha Ananda. And the final, all these are, remember, finite. Finite because I enjoy this object called Annamaya. Similarly, Pranamaya. Similarly, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, and similarly, Anandamaya. When I am still making it, all these Panchakoshas, considering them, classifying them as Anatma. Anatma means what? Different from me because of ignorance. But all these are manifestations of that one single Atma, Anandam. It is Anandam, and Anandamaya Kosha is Atman and Anatman. That is how we have to say. However great the Ananda we derive from the Anandamaya Kosha, it is still finite only. So just to try to imagine, if you can, you try to compare a great happiness, finite happiness, with the infinite. There is no comparison at all. So therefore, this one has to realize. That is why it is called Upadesha Kanda. So the first two chapters, first and second, it is called Upadesha Kanda. And third and fourth are called Muni Kanda. Yajnavalkya Kanda, because Yajnavalkya plays the central role of the Paramaguru, who teaches to various people, especially to two people, one his own wife Maitreyi, and second the greatest of all these kings, Janaka Maharaja. And then the last two chapters are called Khila Kanda, so an assortment of upasanas, etc., and helpful upasanas, where how we can obtain or sacralize, make everything sacred by doing certain types of rituals combined with certain types of contemplations. So, why am I giving this long introduction? Because these mantras in this fourth section of the first chapter of Brihadaranyaka, mantras 9 and 10, are the very essence. And here only we get that famous, most popular Mahavakya, Aham Brahma Asmi. And this is confirmed. As I said, please keep in mind always, the first and second chapter form of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad forms as if the very essence of all the scriptures, Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya. And that Brahma Satyam is expressed here as Aham Brahmasmi. It comes in the 10th mantra, next mantra. But the 9th mantra is a question raised by certain seekers of Atma Vidya or Brahma Jnanam. The answer is given in the 10th, and it continues until 2nd chapter, 3rd section, 6th mantra, where it says, what is the way? So here, Mahavakya, that you are Brahman. All right, I believe in it. But how do I know that I am Brahman? I have to get rid of Ajnana. How do I get rid of my ignorance? And so that is where, in the 2nd chapter, 3rd section, 6th mantra, comes the most famous sadhana, neti, neti, not this, not this. Every anatma has to be negated. That is, in popular words, I am not the waker, I am not the dreamer, I am not the sleeper. In Taittiriya Upanishad, I am not the Annamaya to Anandamaya Panchakoshas. And when I deny, what remains, that is called Satyam. Sri Ramakrishna symbolizes this through beautiful analogy. It was midnight. A servant has to urgently find his master. So he enters into the room. It's a big room full of objects, but he knows the master is sleeping. I have to find him out. Perhaps the servant has never entered into this room, so there is no light also. So the person goes on touching. Not this. This is not my master. So he touches a pillar, maybe a table, maybe something else. Ultimately, he touches the bed. Ah, this is the bed. So in the bedroom, bed is the place where the master has to be found. So he touches the master. So after denying everything, negating everything, what remains is the master. This is the master. This is what Sri Ramakrishna wants to convey through that explanation of that word neti neti. So the servant went on saying, not this, not this. And what, after negating everything, what remains? That is called the master. Here in this analogy, servant is the seeker and the master is none other than Brahman. This is what we have to understand. So, very briefly, let me read out before I give an introduction to this ninth and tenth mantras both. Tat ahuhu, they say. Who says that there were some seekers and they were all earnest seekers of Brahma Vidya and they came to know from Guru Upadesha, from their own logical reasoning, from their own worldly experience, everything is anatma. Anatma means anitya. Anitya means unreliable. Unreliable means everything is full of suffering sooner or later. So therefore, we want to go to that or know that by knowing which we will be satyam, jnanam, anantam, brahma. I can claim I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That is where this question in this ninth mantra is going to lead. So these people were discussing and then they were telling. Yat Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyantaha Manushyaha Manyante. You see, Manushyaha Manyante. Men think. Through the knowledge of Brahman, we shall become all. The explanation we will come later on, but I am going to give you only very brief translation. So these people said, we all heard about Brahma Vidya, especially from the scriptures, and our teacher also, our teachers also say the same thing. What is that? There are manushya, people. Who, what people? Not Tom, Dick and Harry, but people who have realized Brahman. Their declaration, like Vamadeva, so aham sarvam abhavam, I have become everything. So, Brahma Vidyaya Sarvam Bhavishyantaha. By obtaining the knowledge of Brahman, we become everything. Because besides Brahman, there is nothing else. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. So, people are convinced. They are teaching the same thing. Here, men think means not ordinary men, but seekers, earnest, sincere seekers. Like Nachiketa, think that if we can get the knowledge of Brahman, through the knowledge of Brahman, we shall become all. That means what? We will have no death, we will have no ignorance, and our bliss will be unbroken. Kim utat Brahma avyet. Now, that Brahma, it knows, I am all. So, what by what knowledge, what is that Brahma? What did it know? That it became everything. Well then, what did that Brahman know? Through which it became all. Yasmat tat sarvam abhavat iti. Because of which it became all. That means ekam sat. Satyam jnanam anantam. So it became, rather, it understood, I am satyam, deathless. I am jnanam. I am ignorance-less, I am anandam, and infinite anandam, unbroken bliss. How did Brahman come to know about it. Because a Brahman came to know about it, then if we follow what Brahman did to become all, then we also will come to know about it. As I said, beautiful explanations will come later on. So, with this, the answer is given in the 10th mantra. And then, what is the summary of this 10th mantra? So, here also, there are beautiful Sanskrit mantras, which we will very briefly and only selected, we will study now, just to get a glimpse. You know, it is like a famous speaker is going to speak, and every famous speaker or writer, and they are famous because they are great. And how did they become great? Because the greater a person, the clearer he will be, either while speaking or writing. There would be no ambiguity. Study Sri Ramakrishna, study Swami Vivekananda, and study some of the scholars. You will understand what difference is there. Sri Ramakrishna can explain saral kothai shikhale. So, the essence of these answers given here, what is it? First, so you have to become Brahma. What does it mean? Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. What does it mean? You are not that you are not Brahman now or in the past, but you are going to become Brahman in the future by some peculiar process or action, karma or upasana. No. Simply, you will be Brahman. But due to ajnana, avidya, you are thinking, I am not Brahman. That I am not Brahman is expressed as, I am a man, I am a woman, I am a dog. Because even dogs are highly conscious that they are dogs. They are completely identified. A mosquito is completely identified. I am a mosquito. How do you know? You interact with it, it will let you know. So, what is the conclusion? We are summarizing both the 9th and 10th mantras as an introduction. I was talking about famous speakers or writers. What do they do? Every writer has a preface wherein he crystal clear terms, this is the subject I am going to discuss. These are the important points and I am going to elaborate them and present before you the what is called explanations, and at the end again I will give you the conclusions. So by reading that preface we can understand. Same thing is followed by speakers. I am going to speak to you about these things. This is how here we have to summarize this. That is why I am giving the summary. And this summary is according to Advaita Vedantic interpretation. Please keep that in mind. Because same Upanishads are also commented by Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, and especially Ramanujacharya's famous commentary on the Brahma Sutras called Sri Bhashya. Beautiful name. But they don't accept Nirguna, Nirvisesha, Nirakara, Brahman. But Advaita alone accepts. Brahman alone is the only truth and you cannot describe it. So therefore, what is the essence of that? Brahman, Brahma eva, avidyaya, samsarati. Brahma eva, vidyaya, muchyate. What does it mean? Brahman alone, for some mysterious reason, is caught in the net of avidya or ignorance and it enters into this anatma, jagat, creation. Creation is called anatma. This world is called anatma. Anything that doesn't remind us of God, that is called anatma. Anything that makes a difference, I am different from you, that is called anatma. So that Brahman forgot its Brahmanhood and through because of ignorance, it is thinking, I am Jivatma. And after long evolution, it understands, I want to go home. What is my home? That to know who I am. So, Brahma eva vidyaya muchyate. So, does through so many lives, both through good and bad experiences. Every experience, remember, is a lesson taught, and a deep samskara is produced. That's why God created everything good and evil, not for fun, but for its own evolution. So, what is this Brahma Jnana? First Brahman knows, forgets. First Brahman knows I am Brahman, then it forgets and says, I am non-Brahman, anatma, I am the individual, I am a prani, I am a living creature, etc. But after long, many lives of experience, it slowly turns its attention inward and then practices karma yoga and upasana yoga. And through them both, it removes the avidya. By the removal of avidya, automatically vidya manifests. Like when light is brought, then the snake we are experiencing instantaneously. The arrival of the light and the disappearance of snake both takes place simultaneously. Then we see it is a harmless piece of rope. And in the same way, it was a rope, it is a rope, it will be a rope, but I can mistake it for a snake and suffer from the consequences of it. So, Brahman, that is each one of us, we think we are not Brahman. We think, when we believe also in God, that Brahman is sitting somewhere in Vaikuntha, in Kailasa, in Devi Loka, in paradise, etc., etc. But no, it is only our thoughts. Really speaking, I am Brahman. Where are you? In Brahman's Loka, not Brahma Loka, Brahman's Loka. So, what is the essence? This 9th and 10th verse, Brahma Eva, Brahman alone, because of ignorance, thinks I am not Brahman. That is called samsara, that is called transmigration. Brahma Eva, and the same Brahman, are now called Jivatma, through the acquisition of right knowledge, by the destruction of wrong knowledge, Muchyate, that means it is freed from the avidya. Avidya is called bondage. Then, third, what is this definition of self-knowledge? Anatma adhyaropa nivrittihi eva atmagnana. What is this self-knowledge? It is the complete destruction of superimposition on the Atman, that it is not the Atman. The knowledge, it is not the rope, it is a snake. That is called adhyaropa. What does the light do? Apavada. It removes that notion. As soon as light comes, the snake or what we are thinking it is a snake, that wrong notion disappears. And with that wrong notion, the fear and the distress, that also disappears. Then, fourth, a warning against dualistic ignorance. But, atha, yo anyam devatam upaste nasa veda yatha pashurevam sa devanam. That is to say, he who thinks God is different from me, gods are different from me, somebody is different from me, nasa veda, he is an ignorant person. That knowing itself is called ignorant. Ignorance. And what is the result? Yatha pashu evam sa devanam. He becomes like an animal to be used for the purpose of the master. So every deva, gods and goddesses, if we go on worshipping with the knowledge, I am different, they are different. I am a servant, they are my masters. I am helpless, they have the power to help. I am an ignorant person, they know everything. My powers are less, they can do anything they like. As long as this notion persists, then we are like pashus. Just like a cow is dependent upon the master, a dog is dependent upon the master, so a horse is dependent upon the master, so we become dependent upon gods. But this word gods should be interpreted, if I am depending for my sustenance upon my job, I am a slave to my job because I am not doing it happily, joyfully with my own mind. I am doing it because I am helpless. I want to earn money. So I become a pashu, a servant, an animal, a dependent to the master, office manager, the CEO, whatever it is. Anything upon which we depend. So when we are enjoying a sweet, then that I feel unless I have this sweet, then I can't be happy. Only this sweet can give me happiness. That means I have become like an animal to that sweet. Who is the master or mistress? The sweet. And I am a slave, a servant. So long as we think there is no difference between me and the gods or God that I worship, until that time we depend. But the moment I come to know I am Brahman, I am the Atman, then that dependence will automatically disappear. Dependence means fear. Like light destroys the fear of the snake, so true knowledge destroys this slavery. And finally, this person realizes, what does he realize? Aham Manurabhavam Suryascha. I am the Manu. I am the sun. I am the moon. These are small examples. But what it means is, everything in this universe, that is me. The entire creation, that is me. Just as we realize upon waking up that I created my own world in the dream state and I played with myself. Everything in the dream is my own self. Nobody else is there. But this knowledge comes when we wake up. Same knowledge. I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not the waking state, dream state, dreamless state comes only when I wake up from this state of ignorance. So all these statements that we are going to read in the mantras show the spiritual movement intended by the text from Dehabhimana. That is to say, identity with the body. I am the body. What Sri Ramakrishna used to call Ahankara and Mamakara. Ami, Amar. Must be replaced by Tumi, Tomar. Naham, Naham, Tuhu, Tuhu. So, from Dehabhimana to Atma Abhimana. That is, I am the Atman. From Jivatma Bhava to Brahma Bhava. I am the Brahman. From Veda Drishti. That is, seeing everything separate from me, to Sarvatma Drishti. That is, I am everything. Aham Sarvam Abhavam. So, from dependence to freedom. Just let us remember, when we are studying, once Sri Ramakrishna, after his marriage, he went to Jerambati and he used to experience frequent bouts of what is called Bhava Samadhi. We have to distinguish between Bhava Samadhi and real Samadhi. Nirvikalpa Samadhi is different. Most of these is Bhava Samadhi. What is Bhava Samadhi? For example, if Sri Ramakrishna is singing or hearing a bhajan, that my divine, Shama Maki Amar Kalore, Kalorupe Digambari. So is my mother black or blue? She is the infinite divine mother. The moment he hears, he is absorbed in that idea. He becomes one with that Shyamama. So this is called Bhava Samadhi. So in that Bhava Samadhi, sometimes he used to see also people who are about to come and meet him. And it used to turn out to be like that. So from Bheda Drishti to Abheda Drishti, Sarvatma Drishti, from dependence to complete freedom. So the seeker, in fact, need not travel to Brahman, produce Brahman, or become Brahman newly, anew. No, he merely discovers through the removal of ignorance that he has never been anything other than Brahman. So this is the very heart of this teaching, and this we will have to elaborate a little bit more as part of this introduction to this very heart of this 9th and 10th mantras. And if we can understand this, then we have understood the very essence of the every Upanishad, not only Brihadaranyaka, but every Upanishad. Whether the Upanishads teach Thou art the Tattvamasi, Prajnanam Brahma, consciousness is Brahman, or I am Atma Brahma, that this I am so and so is none other than Brahman, or Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. These are called Mahavakyas, and this is a famous Mahavakya. And so, until we reach that knowledge, which will never again be covered up, Aham Brahmasmi, thereafter he becomes completely free. That means he will be outside the bondage. He will be swimming in the ocean of bliss, in the words of Sri Ramakrishna. So Sri Ramakrishna went to Jairam Bhatti. He had this Bhava Samadhi, and that Bhava Samadhi created tremendous amount of hunger. And this happened after he just finished his night dinner. So everybody went to bed, and then because in villages there is no entertainment, no TV to keep a person awake, so they eat early and they also get up early, and they will have a lot of work to do. No instruments are there. So suddenly Sri Ramakrishna came out of the Bhava Samadhi and he started, I am very hungry. Give me something. I am really starving. Everybody got up hastily. And of course it is the mother-in-law's house where the son-in-law is valued so much. Then they were surprised because they also know Ramakrishna's stomach is very delicate. So he said, just now you have eaten stomach full. Immediately Sri Ramakrishna said, when did I eat? Just now I am coming from Dakshineswar. Then they understood. Mother Kali had possessed, the Bhava of Kali had possessed him. So here they had no option, but hastily they prepared what we call halwa, sweet. That is the nearest they can prepare. And immediately it was a big quantity, probably quite a huge quantity of food. And they placed it before him, thinking that he will only take a small bit of it. But to their great disappointment, he ate the whole lot. And they were terribly worried because they know about this condition of his stomach. He will have stomach problem. But next morning, absolutely nothing. Everything is totally digested. How come? Because Bhava can also create terrible loss of energy, therefore terrible hunger, therefore terrible power of digestion. Until the last, Sri Ramakrishna enjoyed relatively very good health. He could eat and he could digest also. Only later on, because of his bhavas and he was touching the devotees, he lost some of his health benefits. So, the ultimate this thing, we will have to understand Aham Brahmasmi. How this is going to progress, we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.